my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Day. We hope so. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us on this Monday. Another week ahead, right? It is April the 24th, and we're going to be talking in a few minutes with the Quincy Institute's Kelly Vlahos. We're going to talk about just how many U.S. military personnel do we have in the Ukraine right now. You know that that leaker, that guy that got caught with all that classified stuff? Apparently inside of there, it's talking about how many military personnel are running around in the Ukraine. And so Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz trying to force Joe Biden to come clean on that. So we'll talk with Kelly about that. And Susan Rice. Susan Rice is in the inner circle of the president's administration. Some say she's one of the people that are pulling the strings on Biden. She is leaving her post as domestic policy advisor. Some would say that she's just getting ready to run his reelection campaign, and that's why she's making this announcement. We are going to talk about that as well. And we have a pretty interesting top 10, Ed. You'll have fun with this one. The top 10 states people are leaving, okay? They are leaving. Speaking about leaving, Saturday morning, my computer left me. No, it didn't walk out the door. It went totally dark. I've never had that happen before. And normally, a little inside baseball, I use my computer to prepare the show, get my stories organized, get my ducks in a row. And my ducks flew away. So we're going to be doing a lot of, what would you call it, seat of the pants today. Hopefully I will have my computer up and running again for our next show. But we do have some stuff to talk about. We have a lot of things to talk about, actually. In fact, just before the show, we were talking about, I might as well bring this up now, Ed. You were talking about St. Pete, what's going on with our little town. Are a lot of people, LGBTQ people, getting upset?
Yeah, well, it's LGBTQ plus.
Plus people, yeah. Okay.
There's a couple letters after that, too.
Sure. What's going on with the situation in St. Petersburg?
It's people are leaving Florida, and they're blaming DeSantis.
Oh, they are. So it's not just St. Pete. It's all over the place of Florida.
And according to them, it's all over the place.
They're blaming DeSantis.
Yes.
Are they really leaving?
It's his strict rules. And
I mean, are they really leaving, or are just people saying that they're thinking?
Well, you know, it's the Times that's reporting that. It's whatever they can put on there.
The St. Pete Times. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they just print whatever's on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're not getting special privileges and stuff, so, you know, it's our way or no way. You know, that's their thinking now. So,
well, didn't Ron DeSantis say Florida is the place where woke goes to die?
Right. Well, if you want woke, go to another state. That's all there is to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, if you like snow, well, don't live in Florida.
Correct. What about Disney World? A lot of people are saying that DeSantis should probably stop punching down on Walt Disney World. What do you think?
Well, Disney needs to quit fighting back and mind their own business and mind their park. Unless they want to get into the political ring, and then he can charge them taxes like everybody else.
I just don't want to see Mickey Mouse coming out with a dress or Minnie coming out in a suit and tie.
Why isn't SeaWorld doing all this? And why isn't Busch Gardens doing all this? And
well, Bud Light's doing it.
Well, I'm talking about Busch Gardens. I mean, the theme park itself.
No, you're right.
Why is it the other theme parks can get along and just do their stuff?
Well, we talked about this, I think, on our last show. people in the sports industry and, quite frankly, in other industries like entertainment and beer and everything else, keep the hell out of politics and sell your product.
Right.
You know, that's as far as it goes. So let's talk a little bit about Susan Rice. She is stepping down as Joe Biden's domestic policy advisor. That announcement was made this morning. And I guess there was a statement that came out from Joe Biden. It says here, I surprised a lot of people when I named Ambassador Susan Rice as my domestic policy advisor. But what I knew then and what we all know now, after more than 2 years of her steady leadership, it's clear there is nobody more capable, more determined to get important things done for the American people than Susan Rice. I remember Susan Rice running around telling everybody when the Libyan assassination of our ambassador occurred, that it started because somebody had some sort of a video going around and it upset a lot of people in Libya. Do you remember that one? And she went on every major television program on the Sunday shows, like Meet the Press and Face the Nation. And it turned out to be nothing at all true. Not true at all. That's what I remember about Susan Rice. But a lot of people think that Susan Rice is one of the people that is running the Biden administration. So she is stepping down. Here's my thought on that. There's a good chance that Biden, first of all, will announce he is running this week for president. And Susan Rice will be at the front of the reelection committee for Joe Biden. That's why we're...
Well, he's not announcing it. He's going to video. He's going to make a tape.
Well, you're right.
He's going to make it. Yeah. I've never heard of that before.
Who was it that told me when I said he will be announcing that he's running for president? Was it you that said, well, he's not running? He'll be stumbling for president. Yeah. I thought that was kind of cool. But yes,
he's going to make a videotape.
He was asked by a reporter if he's running, and Biden said something to the effect of, we'll make an announcement next week, which was, he was asked this past week. And then he said, and I already said that I'm going to, I'm going to be running. I mean, it's like he lets the cat out of the bag anyway.
Somebody should ask him, is that tape going to be on VHS or beta? Just to see what his reaction is. Just to see.
It's going to be on Scotch tape. How's that sound?
He'll just be like, I don't know. You'll have to check with my staff on that. I don't know.
Yeah. So Joe Biden is running around. He refuses to talk with Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans in the House about the debt limit.
He's not talking to anybody.
And raising the debt limit. He won't talk to...
He's not talking to anybody.
No, that's true. He's not.
I mean, look, he's gonna have a tape to announce his running again. It's taped, so he doesn't have to take any questions.
Can you imagine what kind of shape he's going to be in just a year from now? If he's this, cognitively challenged at this point, can you imagine what he would be like if we took the helm again as president in January of, 2025? Can you imagine what kind of shape he would be in?
4 years ago, he should have been on a front porch sipping iced tea somewhere.
Yeah. I don't know how people just don't understand that this guy is not ready for prime time anymore. He's just is not...
Was he ever?
He's not fit to be president anymore. Well, at least when he was...
Look at the bumbling way he made his way, he stayed in the basement as long as he could.
Yeah. I'm just talking about his mental capacity. I'm not talking about his characteristics of integrity and, ability to be a good president. I mean, he's got his cognitive ability dampering even that.
I mean, his staff has got to hold their breath every time he goes up Air Force One stairs.
Yeah, one of these days.
I don't know what odds are. They're probably making odds to how far he gets up for trips.
I would place about 3 or 4 trampolines around the bottom stair just in case he comes flying down.
Why don't they get one of them, the escalator?
Yeah, that would be
good. Step on it and just wait for it?
Yeah.
He'll just move his knees and look like he's...
An escalator would be a good... Then he could stand there and wave at people as the escalator takes him up.
Or he could jump on the baggage belt in the back, one or the other.
Yeah, he could do that, too. That'd be cool. See him go into the belly of the beast. What are we talking about here, for goodness sakes? So as I said at the beginning of the show, We're going to, you know, carry on. And in fact, we're going to take our break right now because Kelly Vlahos is going to join us from the Quincy Institute. We're going to talk about just how many U.S. military personnel we have in Ukraine.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets, from animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Here we are, Freedom Works on a Monday morning, and we are delighted to have Kelly Vlahos join us. She is the editorial director of Responsible Statecraft and the senior advisor at the Quincy Institute. She's come out with a piece that details, it's called, what's called the Privileged Resolution of Inquiry that Republican Matt Gaetz here in Florida is pushing, demanding that President Biden tell the American people just how many American military personnel we've got going in the Ukraine today. Kelly, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great.
This is really interesting. Now, of course, all of this apparently started, Kelly, and you mentioned this in your piece, that it started with this this leak, I guess, from the Department of Defense, and this character that got hold of all of this information and got it out there, feeding it on to his friends and, I guess, other people. So now we got this concern about how many people are running around in the Ukraine. What is going on?
Well, you know, you put your finger on it. This was all launched by the leak that came out a couple weeks ago that suggested that there were 97 special forces from NATO countries operating in Ukraine as of March. And that included 14 U.S. special forces. Now, this isn't the first speculation how many U.S. personnel are in Ukraine. We've had a drip of information and stories over the past year suggesting that there were more special forces and spies and advisors and whatnot in Ukraine than the American people generally know about. And so Congressman Gaetz was responding to that, as you said, by issuing this privileged resolution of inquiry. Not sure what's going to happen to that. But I use this as an opportunity to bring readers up to speed on the different signals and suggestions and clues that we've had over the last year about the actual U.S. presence. I mean, and this all is predicated by President Biden saying that we will not have U.S. boots on the ground. And this is heavily supported by both Republicans and Democratic voters. Poll after poll has shown vast majorities of Americans do not want to put U.S. boots on the ground. And so if the Biden administration has decided to do it anyway, they're going to be doing it under different authorities and very quietly. And I've pointed out that beginning in last June, there was a New York Times story, for example, that talked about a network of commandos and spies among European partners and the United States that was operating, and that there were CIA personnel on the ground continuing to operate after the invasion. And The Intercept had reported, like, a few months later, based on their own reporting, that there were more U.S. commando, special forces, and CIA running around that country under an authority that or a directive that Biden had continued after the invasion. The administration in November announced that it was sending a, quote, team of military weapons inspectors into Ukraine so that they could see what was going on with the weapons we were sending, but they never said how many and in what capacity they would be operating, but they would be U.S. military. And then I did some reporting shortly after that the Pentagon wanted to set up a new Joint Forces Command, setting up a new Joint Forces Command with a 3-star general right outside Ukraine, but that the Pentagon wanted to go further and revive a pre-Ukraine war order that would allow them to insert commandos in the form of, quote, control teams. And I don't know what happened to that. So I feel like that there's a lot going on, and that maybe these leaks are just giving us a brief window into what was actually going on the ground there in Ukraine.
Yeah, in fact, first of all, why are we even surprised that there might be military personnel in Ukraine? I think it's perfectly believable, understandable. It's maybe even logical. We are feeding them weapons. We're feeding mm-hmm. them all kinds of money. I would be shocked if we did not have military personnel in Ukraine. Now, the question is, you know, how many do we have? What are they really doing? Well, and like you mentioned also in your piece, which I recommend to people, in your piece for Responsible Statecraft about this, you know, we got NATO forces running around in there as well. And they're all yep. like, you know, I, in a way, of course, if you feel we should be a hands-off situation, but we can't with the NATO countries that are involved and they're so close to the Ukraine, et cetera. It would seem to me it would be very hard to have a hands-off philosophy there.
Yeah, it's a matter of just being honest with the American people. I think that most Americans, or in some degree, remember what happened in Vietnam with the drip, drip, drip of U.S. personnel moving into that country at first
yep.
in the mid-60s in the form of advisors, and then it turned into an entire...
we got stuck in there, yep.
Yeah, we got stuck in there. We all know the story, and I think that that's been a real thorn in the side of Americans who are tired of being lied to, whether it be the Vietnam in the 60s or the Iraq War in the early 2000s. They just want their government to be straight with them. And when you have Joe Biden is taking the temperature of these polls, and he's seeing that the majority of Americans do not want to get in another war. We support Ukraine in regards to, you know, in regards to giving it weapons in order to defend themselves. We in no way want United States on the soldiers, men and women on the ground there. We're just war fatigued, and we don't feel like it's in our best interest to fight this war. And we want to know if he's inserting troops anyway without having to be held accountable for it with the American people by doing it in some sly way, by putting, quote unquote, spies, commandos, advisors, weapons inspectors and whatnot. And then we all wake up tomorrow and find out that a bunch of American soldiers have gotten killed, and we'll be like, well, how did they get there? Or they kill Russians, and next thing you know, Russia is attacking, is specifically targeting Americans, and there's an escalation, and, you know, God forbid, a nuclear confrontation between us and Russia, which nobody wants either.
Yeah. We're talking with Kelly Vlahos. She is the editorial director of Responsible Statecraft, and she's also a senior advisor at the Quincy Institute. She has written a piece for Responsible Statecraft, just how many U.S. troops and spies do we have in Ukraine? And you're right. You know, and, you know, the whole thing with Indo. In fact, the Americans were involved in the Indochina thing back in the late 50s, mm-hmm. before even Kennedy, you know, well, under the Eisenhower administration. And it just turned into a swamp for us. And then the Vietnam War started and, it, you know, things kind of went downhill from there. So you're right. I mean, that is something to be concerned about, you know, as well as the thing in Taiwan. You know, we got people in Taiwan. You know, we have right. people in Taiwan that are running around. So we, you know, we get our fingers in the pies of all these hot spots, right?
I would say turn it around. What if America, a bunch of Americans, wind up killing Russian soldiers and Putin finds out?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's anything can happen. Yeah, exactly. I mean, your point is well taken. So, going back to this particular incident, Kelly, Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. Wants Biden to come clean. And the fact is that if we do have troops, or just, I wouldn't say that they're probably not considered troops, but military personnel over there, just how much responsibility does the Congress have to A, know about it, and B, oversee this?
Yeah, and that's where things get a little sticky. I think that Congress should be very aggressive on this. And they could say, listen, you didn't come to Congress for an authorization for the use of military force. And it is our authority to declare war. And so you're going to have to come to us and we're going to have a vote on it. And I know that, you know, Congressman Gaetz, along with Congressman Tom Massey on the Senate side, Rand Paul has been very vocal about this, and Mike Lee as well, over time, that the Congress, like, start growing a backbone and taking their authorities back for these wars. Now, Biden could be sending troops over there under different authorities, that, like, secret authorities that Congress has given them over time. And a friend of mine, Nick Terse, who writes for The Intercept, has written very extensively about these authorities in which only, like, a select few members of Congress under the Intelligence Committee know about, and we have troops all over the world, particularly in Africa, you know, running around, doing counterterrorism. Are they, you know, they are there, quote, legally under these authorities? And, you know, as I mentioned, that Biden had put some CIA on the ground under certain authorities, according to the Intercept's reporting. And so there are different ways that the Biden administration can get away with this. But I think, you know, the members of Congress in which constitutional authority is very important to them should take this moment and say, listen, we demand some answers. And if you don't have the authority or you haven't come to us, you know, to declare war on Russia and Ukraine, you need to do it now. And if not, let's get all those guys and whoever's over their back now.
Yeah,
I don't know if they're going to do that, because I don't know if they have the guts to do that. I know the Democrats don't, so I don't know.
We alluded to the Vietnam War. You know that we never declared war. Congress never declared war. We went into Vietnam, and we, just like you've been alluding to, we gave the president, whether it was Kennedy, Johnson, or Nixon, we gave the president the authority to just run things, but we never declared war. And a lot of people thought one of the reasons that we didn't win the war in the Vietnam was because we never declared it. The same deal with going back to Korea, you know, with the troops that have died and that was never a declared war. I mean, the power and the constitutional responsibility is that the Congress has the sole authority to declare war. And if you take it in that route, then I think, you know, our chances of being victorious increase substantially.
Right. And that's why the War Powers Act of 1973 was passed, so that Congress could claw back that authority. But even that has been found to be weak, because that can, because they,
sure,
the Congress can be overturned with if they don't have a veto-proof vote passing to press the president to stop whatever action he's doing. And so I agree with you. I think this is a matter of Congress being assertive, which it hasn't been. All through the global war on terror, it has ceded its authorities and power to the executive, whether it be Bush or Obama or Trump or Biden. You know, it's about executive control. And I think Congress has been loath to put itself on the record as supporting or not supporting these wars. And now they've got themselves into a pickle where we could be sleepwalking into yet another war in Ukraine. And only a handful of members are really standing up, but they need a critical mass to do it. They need members on both sides of the aisle to do it.
No, I think you're right. So where do you think this goes, this resolution of inquiry or whatever? Do you think we're going to be able to come up with an honest response from the Biden administration? Is this going to, do you think this is going to do anything?
I'm afraid not, but I don't think if it officially doesn't do anything, I think Matt Gaetz should just continue pressing the buttons and getting out there the way he has. This hasn't been his first resolution or introduction of a war powers related bill. Like he has issued or introduced bills to get U.S. troops out of Syria, out of Somalia. He's been on a roll. And I think the more that we have these conversations and he's out there talking about it, and at least, you know, I know that a lot of this is going to the Republican base. And it's drumming up a lot of enthusiasm and energy on this issue among conservatives, and that's important. And I think he needs to continue doing it. I know that Republicans, Mike Lee and Senator Paul and J.D. Vance joined members of the House last week in sending a letter to Biden saying, we don't want to give any more weapons to Ukraine until it's paired with a clear strategy, and they're talking to Biden. You have to articulate a clear strategy for ending this war in Ukraine, or we're not giving you any more, or we're not going to support any more aid unconditionally. And so I just think that continuing to press Biden on these issues, it seems like all the pressure is coming from the right at this point, and that's fine. And I know Quincy Institute has enjoined that. We want to see a diplomatic end to this war, and we don't want to see it escalate into a direct fighting war with Russia. The American people don't want it. And so I feel like the more that the Biden administration sort of tries to make end runs around the interests of the American people, I just think the closer we're going to get into a situation that we'll be stuck in, like Afghanistan, like Iraq, like Vietnam, and it's just not what we want
right now. No, I think you're exactly right. So maybe in the long run, the fact that these details or whatever kind of emerged from the leaking of these classified documents might have been a good thing. Kelly, thank you so very much. Keep up the good fight on this. Really appreciate it. Look forward to talking with you again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
And the same to you. Kelly Vlahos, all right.
I thought Biden came out and said all that information was old and no good anyway.
Oh, did he?
It's all stale. Just hey, like him.
Hey, we got some stuff to talk about with the Walt Disney World. I just noticed something on here on social media. Disney rules sparks war of words. So we're going to take a look at it when we return on Freedom Works.
Her eyes make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful, and I tell her every day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. As I told you at the beginning of our program, we are doing a little seat of the pants today because my computer passed away over the weekend and I wasn't able to, as per normal, you know, get all of my stories printed out and ready to go, but we carry on because there's so much to talk about. Ed, have you ever heard of the term Disney bounding? I want to see how up on this you
no.
are. No, I had neither. Disney bounding is when adults dress up to mimic Disney characters that they like and show up at Walt Disney World. Did you know that there is a rule at Walt Disney that if you're 14 or older, you're not allowed to dress up in a costume? So these people, these adults, so
this
are trying
held
to get
by Disney.
It's a rule at Disney World.
Okay.
I'm going to read the story here about it. There are ways to get around not being able to wear a costume. It's called Disney bounding.
Okay.
It says here, some Disney aficionados are using subtle color combinations and jewelry to pay respect to their favorite Disney characters from movies like Snow White and Cinderella and Peter Pan and The Princess and the Frog and others. These Disney superfans, as they were termed by the Washington Post, call their costume design choices Disney bounding. It's a style that encourages Disney fans to dress up in a non-costume outfit that draws on the color scheme, the accessories, and even personality quirks of their favorite characters. So, you know,
so
let's say you want to be Captain Hook.
Okay.
So you put on this, you know, this hat, tricolored hat, and maybe you put a little hook on one of your hands. I don't know.
So
you wander in there.
They're kind of like Trekkies, no, only not as avid.
But there's a rule, and I kind of understand it, that because it's like copyright infringement or something.
Oh,
you know? I know, but I mean,
in their own park?
I know. I mean, I'm just saying, maybe their attorney said, look, you don't want people wandering in. First of all, they might...
Oh, you know what?
They might not wear the Snow White costume correctly, and people would get upset.
Maybe if they're in costume and they do something bad.
That's another thing.
The people think that's part of the park.
There you go.
That could now that would make sense.
Yes, it would, wouldn't it?
Well, then they include us in the next meeting and discuss that with us.
Exactly.
Or at least you send us an email.
I think the governor should be involved in this. To talk
speaking
about whether or not there should be Disney bounding.
Speaking of which, when I told you this before we went on the air, the Tampa Bay Times, our own very own leftist group, if you go to their electronic page on the web, they're like quick what we call quick buttons. In other words, if you want stories about like the Tampa Bay Lightning have their own quick button on the front page, the Tampa Bay Rays have their own quick button. So you click on that and it's nothing but all Rays or all Lightning, whatever. Well, for the first time, our Governor DeSantis has his very own quick button.
He has his own quick button on
you
the Tampa
sure
Bay Times
you can
website.
Click on that button.
Can you imagine?
And it takes you to every article about him, mostly bad.
Mostly. Almost totally bad.
I think on, his birthday,
thing.
They wish him a happy birthday, and that's it.
They have been down on DeSantis even way before there was any thought of him running for president. They just have been down on him ever since he got in. The Tampa Bay Times, they just can't stand him. Let's be honest about it. They hate him. And he's got a great, he won by almost 20 points. I mean, in the governor's race. Well, they weren't even close.
They feel that Andrew Gillum would have been a better choice
because
they
endorsed Andrew Gillum.
And of course, Charlie Crist would have been a better choice because they endorsed him.
Yeah. Yeah. Could you imagine if Andrew Gillum became our governor?
Oh, boy.
I don't even want to think about it.
He was a problem waiting to happen.
Yeah. He's been in the news again recently, too, you know.
Yeah.
They're still going after Andrew Gillum for all of that that stuff with the FBI. So anyway, yeah, Disney bounding, very interesting. Here's something that might be of interest, too. The Pentagon is releasing new UFO video, and this video is broken down frame by frame. Let me read the story to you. Maybe there really is something out there, right? The Pentagon released a video of a reported UFO flying at a high rate of speed in the vicinity of Air Force MQ-9 Reaper drones that showed some really interesting things that everyone thought was truly anomalous. The object flew over South Asia earlier this year and appeared to have a propulsion trail, but it was later determined to be a, quote, sensor artifact. Now, it was the second of two videos that the director of the All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, did you know there was such a thing?
No.
The All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office, just call me AARO, showed lawmakers during the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Emerging Threats and Capabilities. The first was an unresolved, unidentified, anomalous phenomenon.
I wonder how many millions of dollars we pay for that.
Oh, God, which is the government-created word for a UFO. That's the government-created word. It's no longer a UFO. It's anomalous phenomena.
That sounds sexy when you say it like that. If you say UFO, people just say, well, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I'm on the fence about it. Because, you know, with Photoshop and all that, some people can do so many things. Here's the thing, folks. If it's true, we better be careful. Because if somebody was scoping, let's say we go to another planet. We don't just fly around there taking data. We stop over and say, hey, how you doing? We're from planet Earth. How's it going over here? You know, these people are checking us out and figuring where to hit us. Or set up shop, one or the other.
Yes.
You know?
Don't we have enough trouble on this planet without having some other planet come?
Paul, I hate to say it, but it might be the only thing that brings this planet together.
Well, you know, there have been movies that have been made to do that.
Of course.
Show that.
Yeah.
That the world comes together. Okay, speaking of all of that, and I don't know how this connects, but Biden is probably going to announce either tomorrow or maybe Wednesday, as we said earlier, whether he's not going to get out but announce it. He's going to have a video. You know darn well if he has a video, he's announcing he will run.
Of course.
Do you think they would make a video of him saying, no, I'm not going to run? I don't think so. So he's going to run, and everybody's not surprised. What will be of interest is how many Democratic run against him for the nomination again.
And there'll be debates, which will be hilarious. They were hilarious 2 years ago. You can imagine what they'll be in another 2 years.
Yeah.
Or a year and a half. Or a year.
Now.
Another year.
We've got the Massachusetts son of Robert Kennedy running.
Which is name only, really.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he's...
It's Robert Kennedy Jr., I believe, that's running. And he's already got like at 13 or 14%. Did you know that about 76% of the country, and I don't have the poll in front of me, so I saw
this morning you can just say 70% don't want him to run.
Don't want him to run. And isn't that 70, like supposedly 70% of the entire country?
Yes.
That's kind of, I mean, can he not take a hint?
I don't think he knows. I really don't think, when we were talking to Kelly, I don't think he knows.
Why doesn't his wife?
I don't think he knows about what's going on with military.
Why doesn't Jill Biden say, Joe?
Because I think she likes him the way he is, you know? She don't want to upset him. Hey, Joe, you know, we're fighting in Ukraine, and he gets all upset.
Maybe,
you know?
Unless she's really the president, And she wants to, and she likes the
power. You think he is?
Come on. And that's why I'm saying, why is Joe Biden encouraging somebody that can barely stand up and talk and put two words together? Why is she, would she want to, why wouldn't she say, Joe, it's time, of all people who knows what he's like, why isn't she saying, Joe, come on, time to step down. You were president for a term, fantastic, time to leave. You know? Oh, well. We will find out, but it sounds like by Wednesday we will know that he's running again. Let's take our final break. And we'll continue to talk about what's going on in the news. Also, the top 10 states that people are leaving.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Tee off with On the Tee Florida, Saturdays from 11 to 12 on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. From PGA coverage to putt-putt prowess, On the Tee Florida is a PGA fan and a heck's perfect round of informative, humorous conversation and coverage. Every Saturday, talking golf in Tampa Bay and across the USA. Hit 'em straight with On the Tee Florida, brought to you by Coors Light, Saturdays from 11 to 12.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back with the final segment of Freedom Works on a Monday. We thank you so very much for being with us. And by the way, we are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network, Ed and I, and we always enjoy your participation. And by the way, if you're not able to listen to us live, Ed puts all of our programs on podcast. You can go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. It's at the top of the website. And Ed's got all our shows up there, the most recent ones at the front. You'll see who the guest is and our top 10. Bless his heart. OurFreedomWorks.com. Ed, this is a real shock. The Bud Light marketing vice president that came up with the Dylan Mulvaney deal has taken a leave of absence. And let me tell you.
No. Let me guess. Personal reasons or family interests?
Well, I've got to find out here. It's
And if it's a man, he's probably pregnant.
It's a woman. Oh. Bud Light marketing vice president, Alyssa Heinerscheid, taking a leave of absence, and is being replaced by the Budweiser Global Marketing Vice President, who happens to be a man. The company has also hired two consultants with experience in Washington, D.C.'s conservative circles to advise the brand moving forward.
Now you have to figure out how to unwind that thing correctly.
Yeah,
because if you do something drastic to change it automatically or immediately, then those people are going to be up in arms that, oh, you got it taken off, blah, blah. But they don't want to be reminded that you can fill out a few forms and get a statue taken down.
Right.
Or a movie taken off the air because it depicts something that happened in the slavery era.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to say why. You know, the what do you want to call it? Not the real reason, but the official reason.
I don't think they want to.
Yeah, Bud Light remains embroiled in controversy after they sent transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney a personalized pack of beer as part of an ad for the company's March Madness contest. That's, of course, college basketball. And to celebrate a year since Mulvaney began identifying as a woman. I just wonder, in that whole group think thing, when they came up with this idea to promote Mulvaney, wasn't there somebody sitting at that big old table in the Bud Light hierarchy room saying, what in the hell are we doing?
Paul, you can't do that. You can't say, oh, I don't want that. Because then you're,
why not?
Because then you're a homophobe. You can't. That's what they use.
Well, then there would. Then they were probably all, except for somebody. It just it boggles my mind that they did that. But so here, all of this is going on. First of all, I'd never heard of Mulvaney. Had you ever heard?
I'd never heard of.
Well, he or she gained notoriety after interviewing President Biden on transgender issues back in October of last year. Did you know that?
I didn't
know that. During the interview, Biden said that he does not believe states should restrict gender-affirming health care. Okay. So Bud Light's parent company, Anheuser-Busch, apparently has lost $5 billion, with a B, $5 billion in value.
That's just in value. That's not. We're not talking product.
No. Last week, the CEO of Anheuser-Busch published a lengthy statement hoping to tamp down the animosity aimed at Bud Light and its parent company.
Well,
anyway,
the only way to climb out of this thing is they can't say, well, we're going to change
it
because...
Well, bring out the Clivesdales.
I know, but, well, I don't think that's big
enough.
Release
the Clivesdales.
I think the only way to come out of this is you got to be careful the way you unwind it, as I said. You can't just come out and say, well, listen, we lost a bunch of sales. The product has gone down and the value has gone down. And we've sent this person to Bolivia on vacation for 12 years. So we have to come out with something else, whether it's on our next game, we're going to salute the American military or put a military person on top of a Clydesdale. I don't know.
Yeah.
How much more patriotic can you get to climb out of it?
I know. Well, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Just put the American,
that's what is happening.
By golly, just put the American flag on it. How's that?
There you go.
How's that? Because nobody's going to run over it with a steamroller when it's got an American flag on it.
Sounds good to me. All right.
I'm going to charge Budweiser for that.
All right. Before we get to our top 10, we got a lot going on in sports around Tampa Bay. And let's start out with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ouch.
Tampa Bay Lightning are playing again tonight, and they are now down 2-1 to the Toronto Blue Jays in the playoffs. They lost the other night 4-3 in overtime.
That was a bloody game.
Yeah.
And they had that game 3-2 with a minute left, and they lost it on a power play.
Isn't that it
so
was sad.
There's nowhere to blame but to look in the mirror.
Do you think they're going to survive the Toronto Maple Leafs?
I don't know. They won 7-2, they lost 7-2, and then they got beat at home. So the momentum is shifting back over to they have to win tonight.
They have to win tonight. 3-1, they don't want to be in a 3-1 situation. Yeah. Going back to Toronto, that'd be very, very hard to overcome. But on a happier note, did you know that our beloved Tampa Bay Rays baseball team is 13-0 at home
now? Yes, and they go for the record alone tonight. The record is 13, so they're tied right now.
Is that right?
With the 2003 Los Angeles Dodgers, I believe.
First of all, don't we have to thank the schedule maker for putting all of those games at the beginning of the season for Tampa Bay at home?
Well,
they've only played like one series on the road.
I know that, Paul, but to sweep is hard.
Oh, I know.
I mean, any team you can win 2 out of 3. But you know what? Those teams that they've beat, they've gone on to beat other teams. They haven't been swept by other teams. So I don't want to hear that, the Detroit's not that good.
No, I think Tampa Bay's for
Red
real.
Red Sox are above 500. The Blue Jays are above 500.
Yep. Yep. No, Tampa Bay Rays are for real.
And
I tell you, people know that.
Friday night, that knockoff with two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth, Brandon Lau comes up and slaps that thing. I was sitting in front of the TV and I said, this has got to be a walk-off. It's going to be. And then bam. And then the good thing is we talked about it earlier, the whole weekend, the attendance in the Trop, over 20,000.
Yeah, that's great news.
But you know what's working? Because they're finally doing something instead of open. They've got that zone where you can, they call it standing room only.
They're using marketing. They're using their marketing
instead
heads.
Of sitting in a seat for 2 hours, which is boring. You can buy a ticket for half price and go stand over there against the railing and drink a beer and watch the game.
There you go.
More entertaining.
You have to be innovative like that.
Yes.
Good for them. All right. It is time for our top 10, Ed. And this is from Forbes magazine, all right? And we know about how people are coming and going these days. But these are the top 10 states that people are leaving. I want to see if you can come up with number one, all right? Mm-hmm. So here we go. Number 10. Number 10 is Wisconsin. Now, that's an interesting state. Wisconsin kind of goes back and forth politically, but apparently people have, I don't know if it's because of Milwaukee or what's going on there.
It's 30 degrees. It's 30 degrees here this morning.
It's been cold in Wisconsin forever. Yeah. You know, why are they all of a sudden getting frostbite?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is leaving too.
Well, maybe that's it. Yeah. All right. Number 9. How about Utah? All those Mormons in Utah. Mm. Apparently they're moving out. I don't know what's going on in Utah. There's too much salt in the water.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City. Number 8. Kentucky. Well, I can understand maybe Kentucky coal mining and the job markets and everything. It's been kind of tough there.
It's a big Amish state too, isn't it?
Kentucky?
Amish?
I never heard of that.
Pennsylvania is, but
yeah, Pennsylvania. Okay, number 7, Ohio. Now, that's usually a Republican state. I don't know why they would move out of Ohio, but they apparently are. Number 6, now this one I kind of understand, with all the taxes and everything going on. Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I had a friend that used to call it Taxachusetts. But that's number 6. Number 5, Kansas. That's another Republican state. Why are they moving out of Kansas? Maybe there's just nothing to do.
No.
Number 4. Back to the New England area, Connecticut. They got high taxes in Connecticut. Understandable. Number 3.
They're mostly northern states, too.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Number 3 is New York.
There you go.
Why are we not surprised?
No, not at all.
Everything there is so expensive. Number 2. Right next door, New Jersey.
I was going to say, Jersey's got to be there.
New Jersey's, it's been tough in New Jersey. All right, Ed. What do you think's the number one state that people are moving out
of? Oh, it's got to be that wonderful governor they've got out there in California, Mr. Newsom.
You would have thought, but
no?
It's not.
Really?
It's Illinois.
Oh.
I thought you were going to say it, too.
Why are they leaving? They got a nice new mayor in Chicago now, you know?
Oh, God. My beautiful state of Illinois.
What's that old saying? Careful for what you wish for.
What they've done to that wonderful city. It is a great, beautiful city, too. And what's going on there, it makes me cry. Anyway, thank you so very much. Hopefully the computer will be back and up and running for our next show on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
With me.
I love it.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.
And a happy Monday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. Setting up for a mostly cloudy day today as rain showers will be moving in from the Gulf of Mexico throughout the day. A high of only 80 degrees today. Overnight low tonight, 66. And tomorrow's high at 81. Sunset is at 8.02 p.m. Now, here's the latest from CBS News.
Is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kaifen. U.S. diplomats and staffers are out of Sudan after a weekend evacuation, but as fighting rages in the capital, Khartoum, and elsewhere, other Americans are still there.
The vast majority of them are dual nationals. They have citizenship in the United States as well as Sudan. They grew up in Sudan. Families are there. Businesses are there. And they don't have any interest in